Mark chapter number 6. I am glad for the opportunity to be able to open up God's Word with you tonight, and thankful for the truth that we have in God's Word and for what it means to us to be able to read something and know that it's real, know that it's without error, and know that it's the right direction for our life. You know, stopping to think about that, I can't quite wrap your mind around that. But praise the Lord for His Word. A couple of months ago, I was reading in the book of Mark, and the Lord showed me this idea. And while I was trying to, you know, figure out what the Lord wanted me to preach tonight, the Lord brought me back to this. And as I was studying it out, the Lord really showed me something, and it was a real blessing to me, and I hope to share it with you tonight. And my prayer is that the Lord would speak to you, and that the Word of God would speak to your heart, and that your hearts and minds would be open to what God would have to share with you. So in Mark chapter number 6, I want to read in verse number 51. This is after Jesus walked on the sea after the feeding of the 5,000. And in verse number 51 it says, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." And when I read this, I was really like stunned for a second. And I was like, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for the heart was hardened. This is talking about the disciples. And I was thinking about what that meant for the disciples to get to a spot where they could go through a miracle like the feeding of the 5,000 and have it not affect them, have it not soften their heart, have it not really draw them closer to the Lord. And they had to wait till the Lord got to them to this point of the storm and Him walking on water before their heart was softened and before their faith was increased. So I went back and I looked at a bunch of different things, and reading from Mark chapter number 1 all the way through to this point, thank you, and Mark chapter number 6, they really went through a lot. And the book of Mark is kind of a concise book. It's just shorter than most of the Gospels. It tells kind of the stories very rapidly, leaves some of them out, but it also has some good ones in it. And just going through this, they were very, very busy in their ministry. And the Lord led me to the idea that they got so busy doing all these things, and they got to a place where they just wanted some respite. They just wanted some rest. They just wanted some relaxation. And in the moment where they were going to get it, when they were going off by themselves into the wilderness to get some rest, all these people massed around them, and they had to once again minister to these people. And the disciples let that situation where they wanted some rest, where they needed a break, and they weren't able to get it, really to stifle their faith and to draw them and separate them from the Lord. And the Lord just showed me a couple of things I wanted to share with you tonight. So like I said, they were really, really busy in their ministry. I have a couple of different verses just to kind of point this out, just so you kind of see what I did, but how much they were doing with the Lord. So in Mark chapter number 1, verse number 27, this is kind of verses that I just summarize really quickly. All the things that the Lord was doing, all the things that disciples were walking through with Him, and how busy they were, and how many people that they were ministering to. So Mark chapter number 1, verse number 27, it says, "And they were all amazed, the people that were there, and insomuch they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region around about Galilee," talking about the fame of the Lord. Going down to verse number 32. "And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at their door." He's talking about the crowds of people that the Lord was ministering to. Verse number 45. It says, "But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was out in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." In chapter number 2, verse number 1. "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." Verse number 13. "And he went forth again into the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them." Chapter number 3, verse number 7. "But Jesus withdrew himself and his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed from him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, and came unto him. And he spake unto disciples that a small ship would wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For it healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. Verse number 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. They were so busy, they didn't even have time to wait and stop and have a meal. Chapter number 4, verse number 1. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So all these things are going on. Chapter number 5, verse number 21, our last verse. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people were gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. So the Lord and disciples had all these things going on, all this busyness in their lives, and they came to a point where they just wanted a break. And the disciples themselves, in chapter number 6, the Lord sent them out, and they went from city to city, teaching and ministering and healing people and doing miracles themselves. And in verse number 30 of chapter number 6, it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both that they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." So like I said, they were here feeling a little bit overwhelmed and a little bit drained from all the things they were doing. And I was just thinking about in my life where you might get to points in your life where you feel a little bit overwhelmed, or you even just feel a little bit like life's starting to get a little bit monotonous. Maybe it's because of the ministry that you're working in. Maybe it's just because of life that comes upon you, all the things that you do in life where you're busy and you're busy and busy, and the next thing. Maybe you're going through some struggles or some difficulties, whether it be a physical struggle with your health or with your finances or with your family or some emotional distress. All these things come upon you, and you might get to a point where you're like, I just need a little bit of a break, a little bit of a stress relief. And whether you get to that point, or perhaps you get into that point and you're not finding the relief that you need, we can let that situation, we can let that environment lead us to a point where our faith does not grow, our faith decreases, and our walk with the Lord is hurt by that. And our focus is not placed on the Lord where it should be, but it's placed on the circumstances that are around us. And we're losing sight of what truly is important. Now, I mentioned earlier about the truth that we have in God's Word. And listening to the testimonies on Sunday night about the missionary trip to Trinidad, it's all the people there that, you know, they're able to minister to, and the people there that needed to hear the gospel. And living here in America, we look around and we look at people and their lives, and of course we know that people have spiritual needs and they need the Lord. But looking at them physically, you know, most people are okay. You know, most people are getting by. They might not have a lot of money. Their house might not be the nicest, but they're doing okay physically. But when you go on a missions trip, when you go to somewhere else, and you see the physical needs as well as the spiritual needs, when you go to Zambia and you see people who really don't have anything, and you say, oh, this physical need is great, but it helps you to realize, although their physical need is great, their spiritual need is so much greater. Of all the things that we could do for them in Zambia, of giving them water, of giving them shelter, of giving them food, of getting them better homes, the best thing we can do for them is to meet their physical or their spiritual needs. And the same thing is true about the people that are around us today. And so when we get wrapped up in the situations that are going on in our lives, and we lose focus of the spiritual needs of even ourselves, of our family, and of others that are around us, we're going to walk in a way that we're not supposed to. So I just had a couple of thoughts about when we get to that position of lacking in those things, how can we help to turn that around? And to use this this lesson that the Lord was teaching his disciples when he fed the 5,000 and when he walked on the sea. So first, let's look a couple of details about the disciples as we have this background leading into the feeding of the 5,000. So in verse number 32 of Mark chapter number 6, the Bible says, "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto them." So here they are trying to take a break, going out to this desert place. And when they get there, there's people already there waiting for them. It's like they said, oh, we'll go here, no one's going to be there. And when they got there, it was just full of people. So you can imagine the disciples in their heart, and they're like, oh, you know, we finally get a break, and we get here, and it's like all these people. And verse number 34, And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, and his disciples came unto him, and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far pressed. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. So it's looking at the disciples and their mindset, and kind of keying off of that verse at the end, we already read about how the Lord said that the miracle of the 5,000 did not affect them because their heart was hardened. And looking at the details that we have here, we can see that the disciples were, first of all, saying to the Lord, let's get these people out of here. So all these people came unto you, but, you know, we ministered to them, now send them all away so we can have some alone time. And we see that their heart, when they got to this position where they needed a break, where they felt a little bit overwhelmed, their heart stopped being focused like the Lord's was about the needs of the people that are around them and started being focused on themselves. Instead of having the compassion to meet the needs of others, they were focused inwardly on their selfishness. And although it is important for us to take time, the Lord is the one that asked the disciples to come apart to the desert place. It is important to focus and to help heal our soul and help heal our emotions. When we get to a point where there's people that have needs, our mindset should be about how meeting other people, about serving the Lord, and about serving others. The disciples didn't have that. When they're in this position, they let their selfishness overcome their spirit. As we continue to read, the Lord says, And he answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. So, this, you know, the Lord asked them, or said to them, give ye them to eat. And it makes me think of when the Lord was talking to Peter at the end of John. And he said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And the Lord wasn't telling Peter to go out and deliver bread to the world. He was telling them to meet their spiritual needs and to help them to grow. I believe the Lord was telling his disciples the same thing here. He said, give ye them bread. The Lord was seeing their spiritual need, and the disciples were saying, Lord, let's push them out of here. And the Lord was saying, hey, they have a spiritual need that they need to be met. And the disciples were not seeing that. They allowed the flesh to take over. And their mindset was not on spiritual things and on the spirit, but it was on the carnal things. And the Lord was trying to teach them something and show them something. They just weren't getting it because their mind was not focused on the Lord and focused on eternity. So that carnal mind, that fleshiness, and it led them to a lack of faith, which we'll get into a little bit later on. But that really is the key to it all. When we read in the story of walking on the water in the book of John, the Lord talks to John about, or sorry, talks to Peter about how he had no faith when he was walking on the water. And the problem the disciples had was not that they had a problem with their emotions, or not they had a problem with fatigue, or not that they had a problem with their physical health or anything like that. The true problem was a faith problem. They didn't have the faith to trust in the Lord. They didn't have the faith to see eternity. They didn't have the faith to see the spiritual needs of the people that were in front of them. In order for them to get to the place where they could go through all these difficulties, all these struggles that they had, all this burdens and hardship, they need to increase their faith and grow their faith more so that they could see what was really going on. The Lord was trying to talk to them about spiritual things, and they just couldn't see it because their faith was not strong enough. I want to encourage you here tonight, when you get to a point in your life where you're feeling overwhelmed or you're feeling like, I can't handle this anymore, don't focus on the problems because that's not really the issue. The true issue is our faith. And where is our faith in that moment? Is our faith growing? Is our faith helping us to focus on the Lord and the spiritual things? Or is it focused on the problems that we have? I'm not trying to downplay problems. I know that people go through it a lot and people have really hard things. But really, when it all comes down to it, where is our faith in these things? Are we trusting in the Lord? So moving forward pretty rapidly here, there's a couple different ways we can respond to these moments when we feel this way, when our faith is an issue. How do we build that back up? How do we get to a point where we can restore that faith so we can see what's really going on? So briefly, we can look at the way that the people here responded to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 rather than the way the disciples did. Because the Bible says they considered not the miracle because their heart was hardened. Let's look at how the people responded to it in John chapter number 6. So again, the same miracle, the same situation, the Lord feeding the 5,000. This is another reiteration of it. In John chapter 6, in verse number 1, it says, And after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. So again, this is all information that we had. We, you know, for lack of time, we won't read the whole story again, but we get to the end of it in verse number 13. It says, "Therefore they gathered them together and were filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth the prophet that should come into the world.'" So when the people here saw the miracle that Jesus did, their hearts were changed and moved into seeing who Jesus really was. Now, if you read, continue to read verse number 6, the Lord and is trying to teach them later on about how they need to have their mind focused on spiritual things as well. But instead of disciples getting to the point where these people were, where they saw this miracle that the Lord did, and it moved them to have their faith increased in the Lord, they let this miracle go by without even taking notice of it, without even focusing on it. And how do you get to the point where you let the Lord literally take bread and keep breaking it and breaking it and feeding 5,000 people plus all the women and children that were there, and you're not saying, "What is going on? This is amazing. The Lord is here with us." But a couple of things that I feel like the disciples let get to them. They didn't respond to the miracle that they respond to the miracle like they should have, because they had their senses dulled to the blessings of God. And we let our lives get to the point where we're so used to the presence of God in our life, the blessings of God in our life, where we don't see them as so amazing like they are. Then we get to that place where we're just letting all these things that happen to us, and we're not even focusing on how amazing the Lord is working in our lives, even in the midst of our struggles, even in the midst of those moments where we're broken down. The Lord is still great and good to us. So quickly, Romans chapter number 5. This is just a very brief synopsis of some of the things the Lord did for us. But in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the glory of God." Just in these verses about all the things the Lord has done for us. We have justification. We have peace with God. We have access by faith. We have grace. We can rejoice in the Lord because of what He's done for us. As we continue to read, it talks about even when we're in our troubles, even when we're in tribulations. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Like I said before, people go through very hard things, and those things are very real. But even in the middle of those things, even in the midst of those things, we should be able to have a mindset where we realize that this experience that we're going through is leading us to a greater faith, a greater walk with the Lord. And one day we have the hope, we have the surety that we're going to see the Lord face to face. And all of this is going to be worth something. There's no greater distress in life than thinking about all the people that go through their life without living for the Lord. And when they get to the end of their life, they realize it really wasn't worth anything. What was their life worth for if it wasn't lived for the Lord? And here we are, have this opportunity to live our life for the Lord, the presence of God in our lives, the blessings that He has for us. If we let that just brush over our head and we don't see the miracle God's doing in our life, we're wasting our lives just like the people that live without the Lord. So they were dull to the blessings of God. They were dull to the presence of Christ, the provisions of Christ, all that He did for them. Again, like I mentioned before, this is not so that we necessarily focus on those physical things, but realize all the things that the Lord provides for us and does for us, even in the midst of our struggles, to lead us to a greater and a better walk with Him and a more intimate walk with Him. So moving right along, Matthew chapter number 14. Go through those last couple of ideas pretty quickly. So again, we're trying to focus on how we can recover from those situations where we realize that our faith is lax because of the distress or because of the feeling of being overwhelmed that we have, and how we can increase that. And one thing we can do is to respond to the miracles that God has put in our lives, all the things He's doing for us and has done for us already. The disciples didn't do this when they overlooked the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. In Matthew chapter number 14, we'll look at when and how the disciples responded and how when their faith was increased. So instead of responding to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord put them through this other trial, this other situation, to try to grasp and get a hold of their attention. So in verse number 22, it says, "And when Jesus constrained his disciples," Matthew 14, verse 22, "And Jesus straightway constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves. The wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. One of the most unique situations, or unique things about the situation, is the fact that the Lord put them in this situation. He says the Lord constrained his disciples to get into the ship. I believe that the Lord saw that and knew what was going on in their hearts, where they didn't respond to this miracle. And he said, "All right, I'm going to have to put you through this other situation to get a hold of you and help open your eyes, help you to see who I am and where your faith is." And he had to put them into a separate trial. So if we're not going to respond to the miracles and the blessings of God in our lives, we may have to go through an additional trial or a little bit more testing to recover our faith in that trial. The disciples needed to change their focus and to change their mindset. If we read about Peter in this situation, Peter steps out onto the water, and we all know that he steps out onto the water, he walks toward the Lord, and he gets his eyes focused on the waves and away from the Lord, and that's when he begins to sink. And although, you know, you could say it's a great act of faith for Peter to even get out of the boat, but when he got out of the boat, he let his eyes and he let his faith and he let his mind be distracted from what was really important and from focusing on the Lord. And when we're in the midst of trials, we need to actively do these things where we realize what's going on and we adjust our focus and our mindset back to the Lord to help to grow and increase our faith. And adjust your labor and your efforts in the Lord. It's not as clearly written in this passage, but the Lord talks about how they were laboring in the midst of the storm trying to get the boat back to land. Now, the disciples, they said they rowed out about 10 or 20 furlongs into the middle of the sea, and they were laboring all night trying to get the boat to land, and they couldn't do it. And all the effort and all the physical effort they were putting into this. And I believe if they had just focused on and called out to the Lord for him to come and save them, he would. Another passage, it talks about how the Lord was seeing them from on the top of the mountain. He looked down, he saw them in the midst of the sea as they were struggling, going through the situation. And they were trying with all their physical effort to get out of the situation. And where was their focus and attention? On the Lord and saying, "God, I need you to come back to us. And also, on that same thought, to correct their voice, to correct their prayer. In verse number 26, it says, "When they saw that spirit, they cried out." And it doesn't necessarily say that they cried out to God. And I wonder if instead of just crying out in fear when we get into those situations, if we cry out to the Lord and call on him and ask him to come to us, if he would not just come and take us away from that trial. So like I said, respond to the miracle or recover in the trial. When the Lord puts you through something, regain your focus, regain your attention on the Lord. And the last thing we're going to look at is how the Lord responded to this difficulty. We know in verse number 22 and verse number 23, it says, "And straightway Jesus commanded his disciples to get into the ship and go before him. And he sent the multitudes away," in verse number 3, "and went up to the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." The Lord, when he was in this situation, just like the disciples, took time to connect with his Father, took time to pray. And I think if we took more time to focus on the Lord when we get into these situations where we feel our faith is flustering, when our focus is getting off of him, take more time to pray. Take more time to connect with the Father. Just a couple of really quick verses about how the Lord would take time to pray throughout his entire ministry to the Father. Jesus Christ needed that relationship with the Father to work and have power in his ministry. Mark chapter 1, verse number 35 says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." In Luke chapter number 5, and verse number 16, it says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Chapter number 6, and verse number 12. It says, "And it came to pass in those days, he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." And chapter number 9, verse number 18. It says, "And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. He asked them, saying, 'Whom say the people that I am?'" And chapter number 11, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" The Lord had a prayer life with his Father that was central and focused in his life. We all know about how the Lord prayed in the garden before his crucifixion, about how he sought the Lord earnestly. Not just to seek the Lord for his favor, but to seek the Lord for his strength and for his help to go through the trial that he was about to go through. One other thought I wanted to pull out of this. If you turn back to Matthew chapter number 14. The Bible is so neat how it shows not only the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, but also the humanity of Christ. In Matthew chapter number 14, and the beginning of the chapter, is talking about how King Herod had John the Baptist crucified. Or, I'm sorry, not crucified, beheaded. In verse number 10, it says, "And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples, John's disciples, came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." So they took up John the Baptist's body. They went and told Jesus about what had happened. In verse number 13, it says, "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart." So it wasn't just the disciples who needed this rest period. The disciples that needed this respite from all the struggles they were going through. Jesus himself said, "Let's go out and let's have a break. Let's go out. I need some time alone." And even though he didn't necessarily get the rest he wanted in the immediate situation, he too had these struggles. He too had these difficulties. And when he needed to get through it, he needed to take that time alone to pray. And through it all, he was able to maintain a compassionate heart to the people that he needed to minister to. He kept his right focus on their needs and about what eternity would bring. I think it was interesting, like I briefly mentioned, in verse number 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." So not only did he want the disciples to go into the ship so that they could be in this trial where they could regain their focus, but he also wanted to go apart alone to pray. He sent the multitudes away, he sent the disciples away, and he went alone to pray. And probably I would think that this is because of the heart the disciples had. The disciples did not, in this moment, have the heart that Jesus did, where he was trying to increase his faith and trying to strengthen his faith in the Lord and in his Father. They were focused on the physical needs that they had and how they needed a break, and they weren't realizing what the Lord was going through. So he said, "You know what, I have to get all these distractions out of my life. After I've ministered and helped the people, I'm going to send the disciples away because their focus is not where it needs to be. Send the people away, and I'm going to take some time to get alone and pray to the Father." The Lord needed that moment alone and that firm dependence he has on the Father throughout his whole ministry to take that time to pray to him and to rely on him, not just for, like, not just because he's the Father's son, but because he needed the Father's strength. I know the Lord is, Jesus Christ was 100% God, but he's also 100% man and needed strength from the Father to fulfill his ministry. So it's just a brief thought I wanted to give to you tonight. I hope the Lord spoke to you about it. When you get to these places where you feel a little bit overwhelmed, no matter what situation it may be in, make sure you realize that it's a faith issue. Our faith needs to grow. Our faith needs to increase. We need to keep focused on the eternal things, to respond to the miracles that God puts in your lives, of all the blessings he does for you on a daily basis, to correct yourself when you're amidst those trials and regain your focus on the Lord, and also to find rest and respite in the Father and realize we need him in our lives and we need to completely depend fully on him. Praise the Lord.